And then this is some data that Bill Dillon took with the Sonoida. I think most of these V-band observations down here are from Bill Dillon for TPIX and using our facility. This is Mount John itself on the South Island. This is from their 40-inch telescope looking back, and one of these domes back here is the 24-inch telescope that we will have access to, and AVSO gets something in the order of two-thirds of the time on that telescope for refurbishing it. And then this is the Lowell Morgan 24-inch telescope. It's a Tinsley that's been in their exhibit hall for the past 10 years, and they've donated it to us, and we will get it refurbished and put online somewhere. So it's a very nice telescope, very heavy-duty telescope. It can handle 200-300 pounds instrument payload without any trouble. So we will probably put something other than just a pure CCD on it. We may put a spectrograph on it or something like that, so we have a different capability with this telescope. Now, I think those of you who have internet access have been watching a few discussions going on about the variable star plotter. And to be honest, what's happened is that we released the CompStar database in October, and we said everybody ought to update their charts. And what happens is that people, even though in the past 6 months have been told it's online, you can use it, why don't you try playing with it? Here we said you should use it. And everybody started to use it, and they started having complaints. You can look down in the list. We tell you exactly that, yep, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that, we'll work on it. But they're complaining about it, and that's fine. They should be complaining. There are some areas in which it can be improved, but I have to be also honest in saying that I've used VSP for over 100 fields, and I've been very satisfied with what's online right now. But we do know that the visual observers are the ones that are having the most problem, and that's because they're working with bright fields and wide-angle fields. And those are areas that we don't do very well in VSP right now. Yet we know ways of fixing it. It's not that we aren't aware of the problems and are just ignoring the problems. They are being worked on. But I felt that it needed to be released now so that new objects such as new novae that come out or V455N goes off. We have to have that capability online now. The charts are usable now. They're just not pretty. And so that's the area that we're working on. So the next photometry release, which will be the other 10,000 stars of our CompStar database, goes online in December with the concept that as of January 1st, everyone should be using the new charts and not the old charts. And the reason is that the next 10,000 stars all vary by, differ is a better word for it. They all differ significantly from the existing charts. And that means that if you're using those stars as part of your sequence for observing, you will see drastic changes in your charts once those extra 10,000 stars come out. This will be a big change to your observing program. It means that your observations will be more scientifically useful, but it means you have to relearn things. And I apologize for that, but my goal is always to get the most scientifically useful data into the AVSO database. And so in order to do that, it means sometimes some very large changes. At the same time, this is a project that's not just me doing CompStar database or something. Vance and his team went through and documented all the comp stars that are in on our existing charts. Aaron has been working tirelessly on coordinating the effort. Chris Watson has been involved in a lot of the user interfaces. Mike Koppelman, of course, wrote the software with his company. And so there are a lot of people involved in this project. It's a major part of the AVSO. We're going to get it right. So this is sort of the online fill-in form, and I think it's pretty recent. I think these are forms I downloaded this morning. So this is TT Airy. And this is the kind of chart that you get off of VSP for TT Airy. This one goes down to 20th magnitude, so it includes stars as faint as are possible in the catalog. But you can see that all the comp stars are listed on here and identified. Now, this is the same thing, but with the DSS instead of from our star catalogs. And if we flip back and forth between these two, one of the things to note are these are two galaxies down here. If we go back, you can see that those two galaxies show up, but they show up as multiple objects because it hits on various parts of those galaxies. There are some other things. There's some stars that are slightly different magnitude up here that when you go back to the original chart, they look different in here. So yes, there are differences in here, partly due to the magnitudes that are stored in the stellar database that we're using to generate these charts, and partly due to things like over here where you have a fairly bright star and so it has multiple images. We erred on the side of making sure that every star that's in the sequence shows up, but that there are some false stars that show up because we're being overly, what's the word? I wouldn't say conservative, but we're trying to make sure that all the stars show up, so if some false stars also show up. We could go the other extreme and say, okay, we'll remove all these false stars. And we did that at first. But then that removes some comparison stars also. So now you have missing stars. So it's the other extreme. So what we're doing is fine-tuning it and getting it right. It isn't there yet. It will be shortly. But something like this is usable in my mind. Okay? Now, it may not be pretty, but I think it's a perfectly acceptable way of finding the star and finding the comparison stars. All right, so I'll take just a few minutes here and go through some of the other neat new things that have been going on at headquarters. One is that I was researching W. Virginis and realized that Olin Egan had some observations of this Cepheid. And I wasn't sure that we had all of his observations. So I checked with CTIO, and they said, well, he had card files of all of his data. But when he passed away, we put those card files into cold storage. And so I said, well, can we have them? And they said, sure. And so they sent up a box of 400 pounds of cards. There's the box. And you have to realize dimensions here. This is about 6 feet. And that's about 4 feet. And so there are 75,000 index cards in that box. And here's Sarah doing some sorting for us, trying to get some order out of this. It was the cards were just put in this kind of random order. We're really still not sure exactly what order they're in. And then here's where we've actually sorted them out and put them into the stacks that Sarah has now relate to box one, box two, et cetera. And then we've been digitizing, or we've been scanning these cards. And so here's an example of one of the scanned cards. And you can see that it's all handwritten. There are lots and lots of observations in each one of these cards. There are some identifications. It tells you, you know, this is an HD star and its coordinates. And then you can sort of figure out that these are magnitudes and colors. This particular card, if you actually go back to the published literature, you can find the observations corresponding to that. So you can see a one-to-one correspondence between these two. And so that gives you a hint as to what he was doing when he wrote these cards down. But what we've done so far is we've scanned these cards, and they will be available on the web, but we haven't digitized those cards, gotten magnitudes out of it in a machine-readable format. That's something that we're not planning to do at headquarters because it's an enormous effort as far as headquarters staff is concerned. But we will try to do it as a volunteer effort. If you want 1,000 cards and you want to digitize them, boy, we're happy to let you do that. But if we have, you know, 1,000 members each doing 75 cards, you know, that's nothing. And all of a sudden we've digitized 75,000 cards. So it's not an impossible project, but it's just an interesting one and I think a very valuable one. That's right. A digitizing campaign. So the person who did most of these cards, 60,000 of those cards this past summer, was David Coit, who is our Mayall summer assistant. Really fantastic guy, very hard worker, and these are some of the things that he did this past summer. So he uploaded 300,000 CCD images for me from both my observations at Flagstaff and also the Sonoida stuff. He scanned 60,000 index cards. He looked at hundreds of Myra light curves. He data entered all of Gary Walker's BVRI observations of the standard set, and on and on. So he just did. He was very productive and well worth bringing him in for the summer. And I think he got something out of it as well. He's still willing to volunteer even through the school year. So it's great. We're doing pre-validation now so that there's automatic checking of data as it comes in for things like typos. We've also gone back and started doing regular validation so that we're picking up the stars that are really oddballs, observations that are really oddballs, because now it took us a while to get to that step because we switched over from ASCII text file database to relational database for the observations, and that means you had to build new tools in order to handle that new database. Mike Saladiga and Tom Williams are working on the centenary book, which will come out probably in 2011. As mentioned before, we had a ticketing system for correspondence, so now if you submit something to the AVSO, a question, we are supposed to respond in a reasonable length of time. And if you don't get a automated ticket number back, something went wrong and you need to contact us. We've run many campaigns. We hired Doc Kinney as a part-time technical assistant to help Aaron because Aaron is now, in my mind, a full-time student who is doing IT stuff for us on the side as opposed to the other way around. And so Doc has been a really a godsend as far as getting some of the administrative stuff done. And as I mentioned, Aaron is in the PhD program at Tufts. And he did hold a astronomy education research symposium this past September. We kind of hold a one-day AVSO symposium as kind of an informal thing and on an annual basis. And that was the topic of it for this year. Gamze and I went to Turkey for the second amateur astronomy symposium and met with a lot of observers in that general area. And then, like I've said before, I've got so much data that I will never get around to. I really wish you would go and look at this project page and adopt a project. There's 60 of them there. It's just sitting there. It's going to sit there next year, too. So if you want to do some data mining or playing with data that's different than what you get off your telescope, it's a good source. Oh, you come the primary author, as Kate Hutton will mention later. So the Japanese Visual Observing Manual was released. The Chinese version of that is in progress. We actually found a retired astronomer who was willing to do this for us, and he's been very enthusiastic and giving us chapters faster than I would have expected. We've been good with putting the electronic journal articles online. We've been poor in getting the printed copies out to you, and that will change this next year. Alert notices and special notices, eyepiece views, variable star of the seasons. So publications coming out of the AVSO, there's always lots of them. And I think the staff has been very good at getting those out to us. There were 8 kind of non-refereed staff publications, American Astronomical Society abstracts and so on, and 22 refereed papers that were submitted and accepted for this past year. And then we've also assisted several other papers. It may be just providing light curves of some star that they're interested in, helping them out in downloading and analyzing data from the AVSO. And so then they've given us acknowledgments in their own papers. And then the complete list of this will be in the director's report, the printed one. So this is the Japanese translation, and I think Sarah and others have been having fun trying to do the Japanese equivalent of our manuals. I'm amazed that you can find the typefaces for these for Japanese and free online. It's just amazing. And Saichi Tsuchi is the person who did the translation, and his daughter came and visited the AVSO headquarters in August. Yeah. And so she was really nice to have come by. And then the other one is the Chinese translation that's in progress. And again, the Chinese character set, just amazing. And then we're also working on a Polish translation sort of in the background. What we're trying to do primarily is hit the 6 UN languages for doing primary translations. And then as volunteers offer to do translations into other languages, we give them support to do that. Good. We have 5 SID awards that are being given out this year. The fall awards are generally the SID awards, the Solar awards, and some special awards like the Merit Award or the Alcott Award or something like this, which will be given out in the banquet. So we have 5 SID awards and no Solar awards to be given out this year. And I wanted to end with sort of what's going on in the next year or so. We're going to work on improving the LPV bulletin. We're going to probably provide lists of stars to observe, recommended lists, and for visual observers, beginners, and stars that we want to continue on in perpetuity as far as observing. Again, the photometric sequences are going to be released as of December, but we'll continue to improve those photometric sequences. Those images, the CCD images that David uploaded to our file server, we're going to put in an interface so that you can download any of those images that you see fit as well, so you have access to 300,000 professional images. And the robotic telescope submission form will finally get done. And I'll be doing a bit of traveling this next year to international organizations, again, to promote the AVSO, and to improve the relations that we have with our other associations across the world. And then finally, 2009 is coming up awfully soon, and that is the International Year of Astronomy. And it's been slowly ramping up. It was formally approved at the IAU last year, and the Americans have been making committees and thinking about things, but they haven't put anything into place yet. But it's coming soon, and you only have basically a year to get ready. Some of the stuff we'll be doing next year, setting up campaigns and so on, will be related to the 2009 IYA. So finally, I just want to say thanks. I mean, this has been a great year as far as I'm concerned. If you just think about it, you know, and the fact of all the stuff that we've done on the web, the enormous number of observations that have come in, the neat new objects that we've looked at, the move of headquarters from one place to another. I mean, this has been not only a productive year, but a very busy year. And it couldn't have been possible without the contributions from the observers, all the volunteers, not only that have worked here at headquarters, but interactively over the internet, and of course the staff. Without that, this year wouldn't have happened. And I think it'll extend into next year as well. So thank you very much.